Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now in Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Ayin Aleph, Amud Aleph. The Mishnah that's right in the middle of the Amud, which is part of Mishnah Zayin in the final parak. So the second part of Mishnah Zayin. Mocher Yeno Loved Kochavim. If you're selling your wine, Jewish wine, you're selling it to a pagan. Pasak Ad Shalom Adad, if you agreed upon a price before he measured it and you measured it out, Damav Mutarin. Then you can collect the money when you give him the wine. Madad Anshelo Pasak, but at first he measured it, and then you agreed on an amount. Damav Asurin, and we will see why. The money is prohibited to you. Now, Amar Memar. Meshicha Boved Kochavim Koneh. This is where it starts. Amemar Novashev Machloket. Whether the Kinyan of Meshicha, picking something up, moving it towards yourself, as a form of acquisition, works for non-Jews. Now, he claims it does. And what's his proof? Teda, Dahani Parsoi, Meshari Pardashni. Lahadadi, these the Parthians send gifts to each other for Lahadibuhu, and they never take it back, which means that the minute that you take possession, it's yours. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi disagrees, says the Olam Emelachav Meshicha Bavid Kochavim Einakona, it doesn't work. Behind Lahadibuhu, so why is it they don't take it back? The Ramad Ruchu Din Kitalu, they're pride. They're not going to take that. They're not going to revoke a gift that they gave. They're too proud for that. Now, I'm Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi's position, of course, is that Meshicha Einakona. He's got to prove that. Rav told people who poured wine, I mean Jews who sold wine to non-Jews, which is the case in our Mishnah. Ki chaylitu chamra l'ovdi kochavim. When you're pouring it out to non-Jews, shaklu zuze minayhu. Take the money from them first, v'hadar kailan lehu, and then finish off pouring. V'lo nikita v'hadayu zuzi. And if they don't give you money, then usfinu v'hadash kilu minayu. Then here's what you do. Lend them money, then you take it back, and what you're taking back now is a collection of the loan, and later on you collect the money. Kehechad etavi halva gabayu, so it'd be a loan. De'ilo avdituach, if you don't do that, kikahavi yayin nesach, b'shutayichu kahavi. What happens is, if you don't collect the money from them before you pour it out to them, then it becomes yayin nesach, you still own it. V'chishaklitu, and then when you take the money, what happened is the yain became yain nesach while you owned it. And then when you take my payment for it, you're taking money for yain nesach, which you can't do. Now, that's Rav's instructions. Rav Ashi says, what do we learn from that? If you think Mashiach really is valid, then the minute that he takes it's not his until he takes it. Yain nesach lo havi adenagabe, but it only becomes yain nesach afterwards when he touches the wine, meaning that it can't become yain nesach till he touches the wine, and Mashiach is going to be first. So the only way to explain why Rav put this warning on the wine sellers is because Mashiach ain't a kona, and it must be that the money is kona. Now, the answer that the Namemar gives is ina kakayil v'rami lamana di Yisrael achinami. He said, if you were pouring into your own kelim, you the seller, then you'd be right. So lo tzricha de kakayel v'rami lamana David kochavim. You're pouring into their vessel. And the problem is that their vessel has yayin nesach in it, so the minute that you pour in, it hits the bottom, it becomes yayin nesach. Sof sof kimat alvir demana kanya, but it's still not a problem, because when you pour the wine in to their vessel, it becomes theirs the minute it hits the airspace of the vessel. Yayin nesach lo havi ademati la'arit de demana. It doesn't become yayin nesach until it hits the bottom of the barrel and touches the other yayin nesach residue that's in there. So Shmamina Nitzok Chibor, you're trying to claim that Nitzok, which is the stream, is a Chibor, such that the wine at the bottom now affects the stuff on top, makes it Yayin Nesach before it comes in? We don't accept Nitzok as Chibor. Says Lo, Idanaki Levit Kochavim Lekleb Kilibiyadei Achinami. So he says, you're right, if the Goy was holding the Kli in his hand, that wouldn't be a problem. So Lo Tzricha Demanach Ara. Here's the issue, is it's sitting on the ground. In the yard or in front of the duchan of the seller. So if that's the case, it doesn't become his until he picks it up. V'tiknilei, meaning the yain nesach, right? V'tiknilei kelav. So why aren't his kelim? What it means is that it becomes yain nesach the minute that it goes into the kli and hits the bottom, but it doesn't become his until he picks it up. So v'tiknilei kelav. But wait a second, it should become his because his kli is konet. Now, there's a famous machloket in Perek Hazav about whether Kelev Shalokech M'shut Mocher. If I bring my vessels into your yard and I buy stuff from you and you put them into the vessels, are my vessels kone even though they're in your property? So here you're going to say, Kelev Shalokech M'shut Mocher Lo Kana Lokeach? You're going to say it's not kone, because otherwise here it would be kone as soon as it went in. So lo, liolam emelacha kana lokeach. Really, we're not settling that dispute. Hacham askinu, what's the case here? Can go into ika akavat yain apume de chuzanta. What happened is, and now we're making a very specific case, where there is some residue of wine on the spout where you pour in, and that's yain nesach. And therefore, every drop that goes in becomes yain nesach. Dekama kama in sichle. Uchaman, who's this like? Because we'll see it later in a Mishnah towards the end of our Masachet. Delokar Hashem Gamliel. Because what does Hashem Gamliel say? Yimacher kulo lo dekachom chutz midva yain nesach shibo. When you have some yain nesach that gets mixed up into other stuff, it doesn't all become asur b'hana'a. You can't drink it. You could sell it all to a goy minus the value of the yain nesach. So same thing here. So why did Rav say you can't sell any of this stuff? So it must be against Rav Gamliel. But why is that a problem? Me do time el Rav. We're just asking on why Rav ruled the way he did. Huh? I'm a Rav. Rav himself said, Halak Rav Gamliel, Chavit b'chavit. We rule like Rav Gamliel only if we got barrels mixed up together. So there's one barrel among 10 or 20 or 1,000. You can't drink them. But you could sell the whole lot to a goy for the price of all the barrels minus one. Yatlo yain b'yain. But Rav says we do not accept Rav Moshe Gamliel's ruling when it comes to a mixture of real liquids of wine together. Right? That solves it. Now, meitave, we're not out of the woods. Halokach kutot min avdei kochavim matzav en avdei kochavim. This we had earlier in the second parak. If you buy coins from a non-Jew, and after you bought them, you found among them some trinkets of avodah zarah. And you don't want them, obviously. If you took them before you gave the money, yachzir, then just give it back. But if you already paid the money, then yolichem melech. You can't give it back. You got to get rid of them and you lose. Now, but if you think Mashiach is kone, yachzir, how come in the Reisha you're allowed to give it back? After all, you took it from him. That's the Kenyan. So Amar Abaye. Abaye turns around and says, Mishum de mechzik emekachto. Because after all, whole things are makachtot. Because you were buying coins, not avodah zarah. So it's about, even though you did mashicha of coins. You didn't know there was avodah zarah there. So Rava then turns around and says, Reisha makachtot, Sefer la makachtot. But the Sefer is also makachtot. And just the fact that you paid, why should you have to get rid of it? It should all be makachtot. Ela Amar Rava, Reisha v'Sefer makachtot. He says, it's all makachtot. You're buying coins. For Reisha lo yayv zuzi, in the Reisha where you didn't yet pay, lo mitchaze kevod kochav miyad Yisrael. It doesn't look like, it doesn't have the impression of avodah zarah that's in the hands of Yisrael. Sefer, Yaiv Zuzeh, but in the Sefer where you paid the money, mitchazek avodah kochav miyad Yisrael. Then it really does look like avodah zarah in the hands of Yisrael, and that's why you cannot collect the money. Now, or you have to get rid of the trinkets, you can't give it back. Now, Amar Lemar Kashish Yibrei Rav Chista Lavashi, Toshma, we're not done, HaMocher Yaim of Dei Kochavim, Pasak Ad Shalom Adav Damav Mutarin, our Mishnah. If you think, Ravashi, as you say, that Mashiach is not Kone, then Amai Damav Mutarin, why are you allowed to keep the money just because you made an agreement on how much it was going to be before he measured it? Measuring here is kind of like Mashiach. It's his physical intervention. So why should the money be Mutar? Hachamayaskina and Da'aktim Le Dinar. So Ravashi says, we're talking about a case where the guy actually gave you the money before he touched anything. Did anything. So Yachi Masefa, if that's the case, how about the second half of the Mishnah? Madana Chalo Pasak Damav Asurin. How come if he measured it before you said you agreed on a price, why is the money Asur? According to Dina, but if he already paid you, Amai Damav Asurin, he gave you the money before anything happened. So Amarlera, Rashi says to Mark Shisha, he says, Udidach, the Amar Mashiach Avod Kochav Kone, you accept the position of Amemar, which is the Mashiach is Kone? Amai Resha Damav Mutarin. Why is the money mutter in the Reisha? The Sefer Dama Vasurin. In other words, nothing physically happened different. All that happened was they had agreed upon a price, either before or after. Alamait lach lememar, how would you answer it? You'd have to answer, Pasak samchadate. The minute that you agree upon a price, you assume that the deal is done. And therefore, anything you do afterwards is an assumption that you're on a good deal. Lo pasak, if you didn't make an agreement, lo samchadate, and you don't know if it's going to play out. There's not a gemirutat here. L'didi nami, so I say the same thing. Mashiach is not kone. Avagav the kadim dinar, even though the guy already gave him the dinar, pasak, if you agreed upon a price, samchadate. He gave me the money, and if we agreed upon a price, all I have to do is give it to him. Lo pasak, but if we didn't agree upon a price, lo samchadate. And therefore, the money that you're giving him now is, even though you gave him the money, when you give him the yain nesach, and then you agree upon a price later, that's when the kinyan happens, and by that time it's yain nesach, too late. Okay, Amar Ravina Ravashi. So now you challenge Ravashi. Toshma, the Amar Chia Bar Amar Yochanan. says Ben Noach Neraga Pachat Mishara Pruta. Remember in Sanhedrin we learned that for the mitzvah Ben Noach, a goy is killed, for violating any of them, including Zela, including less than a Shava Pruta. Velo nitan lehi shavon, which right now we'll read as it doesn't have to be returned. The Amart Mashiach about Kochav Menakonev, if you say, like you said, Ravashi, that Mashiach is not Kone, Amai Nerag, why is he killed? He didn't make a Kenyan. He stole something, but it's not his because he just picked it up. So the answer is Mishum, it's not really Yisrael. The reason he's killed is because he made a Yisrael uncomfortable by taking his stuff. He gave him trouble. So my lo nitan lehi shavon, so what does that phrase mean? De'eno b'torah eti shavon, meaning there is no din of hashava. You know, there's nothing to return because it's not his. So yachim aseifa, but the rest of the brayta says bachaver untalameno. If another goy came and took it from him, neragale, he's killed too. Now this goy took from another goy. Mishlam areish mishum netzari l'Israel. So according to your explanation, even though Mashiach is not kona, he's killed because he troubled a Jew. Halaseifa mayavid naseifa. What did he do? We have supported Rav Emar. Rav Ashi has been defeated. It doesn't happen often. Mashiach is Kone, and the final ultimate proof is from Rabbi Yochanan's statement about the Ben Noach Neharag, Apach Mashav Pruta. Clearly, when he takes it, that is a Kenyan. Okay, now, a story. Ahu Gavra de Amr Lechavre, and this is only slightly related. It's really a spin-off of the end of the other component of the Mishnah, which is the power of Lifsok, meaning when you agree upon a price, is that a commitment? How strong is that? Who governed Amr al-Khabre? So a fellow told his friend, Im is Abnino Lal Ha'arafa. Ever sell this land? Lachma is Abnino Lal. Sell it to you. Azul Zabnil Ina Shachrina. He went and sold to somebody else. Amr Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Kana Kama. The first guy really has the rights to be Kona. Amr Abayas. Abayas says, Valo Pasak, but they never agreed upon a price. And so, Menatem Renachol Echad Lo Pasak Lo Kana. And I'll prove to you that without setting a price, there is no Kenyan. The guy doesn't have a Kenyan just because the guy said I'd sell it to you. Titnan, we go into our Mishnah. So my Havela, what's the solution, resolution? My Havela, Lakan Amrina, and the answer is just like we said, that without Psak, without setting a price, the commitment is meaningless. And the fact that I said I'll sell it to you doesn't mean anything, and the second guy has the land. The answer is no. Maybe when it comes to the Yayin Nesach, we're more careful, and when he makes a commitment, make him live up to it, but otherwise not. The answer is that even in other cases, we say the same thing. Okay, so Abaye's challenge is good. Toshma, the Amar Avidi Baravin, Uvdav Rav Chista, Rav Chista, Rav Huna. Rav Chista had a case happen to him, and he himself asked a case like that in Rav Huna's Beis Medrash, of the same sort of sort. Upashtim, Yahadit Nan, and they solved it from a Mishnah in Brighton, Bob Batra, a Mishnah. Let's say you're buying fruit, and it turns out later on you find out the fruit isn't as good as you wanted, or it's too much, or too little. So if you pulled the donkey drivers and the workers and brought them into your house with this stuff, doesn't matter that you measured, investigated, and checked out the fruit, or agreed upon a price first or second, doesn't matter. There's no Kenyan. The seller or the buyer at any point in here can say, I take it back. But Pirkan Bichnasan Tokmito, but if he unloaded them and brought it into his own house, now he did a maaseh. Pasak ad shalom adad, if first they agreed upon a price before he checked out the fruit and found it wasn't what he wanted, or the other guy saw it was more than he wanted to sell, Einstein Yecholi Machzor Mahan, nobody could change their mind. Too late. Madad ad shalom pasak, but if he measured it before he agreed upon a price, Shtein Yecholi Machzor Mahan. After he measures it, they didn't yet agree upon a price, and one of them sees it's too much, too little, they could change their mind. Which means that pasak really is meaningful. Hahu gavra damer lechavre. A guy told his friend, it's similar but not the same as the previous case. Even as avnila halarafe, ever sell this land? As avnilach b'me'azuzi, I'll sell it to you for 100. There's a psak. Azal zavnam the inashachrin me'avesrin. He found another guy, sold it to him for 120. Rav Kana says what Rav Yosef said the other time, which is the first guy gets to keep the land. He has to pay, but it's his. Rav Yaakov ben Harpkodi disagreed. He said, "Hi zuzansu." After all, this guy was sort of coerced by the fact that he had a chance to make more money. You can't fault him for taking a better price. And that's the halacha. Now, Amrleh, this is the last thing about commitments. Amrleh, Kedushai Mitlata, if I say to you, I'll sell this land to you, or this thing to you, based upon the price that three, the Beit Din, says, Afilu Tremigo appraises, Afilu Tremigo Tlata. So even if only two of them give one price, and the third gives a different price, the two is enough, even though you said Kedushai Mitlata. Bitlata means in the Beit Din. But if you say, as three say, all three of them have to say it. Kedeshaimi, I mean, they have to agree on a price. You can back out if only two said that price. Kedeshaimi barba, but if you said as four, because when you say three, what you mean is a beitin. So beitin is two out of three. Kedeshaimi barba, but if you said as the four phrase it, then adamri barba, then it really means that all four have to say the same thing. Because four is not a normal beitin, so clearly you mean I want four guys to agree on this. Kol shekein echad amar lei kedeshaimi barba. Certainly if you said kedeshaimi, which even with three meant all three. So here's all four. Amar lei kedeshaimi flata, if you said as three appraise it. Va'atu flata v'shamu, and three guys came and appraised it. And now the seller or the buyer is unhappy with that. Va'amar lei idach, the other guy who didn't invite these three, said, leitu tlita achidat kim lutfei, I want another three who are more expert at this. Rapapa dinu the market. Rapapa says you have the right to do that and say, I know three, these three guys don't know what they're talking about, I don't want another three. Or I know another three. What kind of proof do you have that these guys know any better than the first guys? Maybe these guys know better. And this could go on forever. And that is indeed the halacha that we do not allow the second guy to intervene once three guys have appraised it. They're both stuck with what they agreed upon as far as the sale. We'll pause at this point. Wish everybody a wonderful day. Mirza Hashem, the next podcast, we'll pick up with the end of Mishnah Zayin.